like 5 hours with this song this week. I love this. This is one of my favorite Smiths theme songs. I'm sorry, I just got this out. I've been jamming this song this whole week.
It is a jam.
Dude, this is a great jam.
This week, in your appearance, Mason, we are attempting Hoops in the Future. From 1991, we're playing Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball by Houston Consultants for the Super Nintendo. I'm Steve Greenwell. With me is my co-host. I was traded for Bill Laimbeer and a robot to be named later. It's Yul Houser.
It's not tough at all as long as the fans are yelling, screaming, and hollering.
Oh, yes. Getting psyched from that home crowd. And our other co-host, his favorite part of basketball is all of the tackling. It's Todd Brisket.
Ooh. I had to wear a Laimbeer-style face mask myself after playing this game.
Oh. Because you were hitting your head into the screen of your television.
Yes, smashing my head on my controller.
Yeah, the sweet release of passing out. And today, we're joined by a special guest making his last appearance as the Steve Martin of the show. It is our old friend, Dale.
Ooh. Thanks for having me, guys, on the penultimate episode of YPB. It's great to be here.
Oh, yes. Thank you, man. We should have factored in some dramatic tension.
I'm so glad I get to use that word. That's like one of my favorite words. And
it's a fantastic word.
The way, you know, it's not too often you get to say the word penultimate and it actually makes sense. So thank you, guys.
Yeah,
it's weird. I just had a discussion yesterday about how penultimate seems like it might mean ultimate.
I know.
It means like the one before ultimate, the one before last. Our email address is parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and please follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, subscribe to it on Spotify or iTunes and give us some stars. Also, join our Discord channel by going to ybbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys and girls. And hey, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at ybbpodcast.com. It will still work after this week and next week. So keep clicking through. You can buy a Bill Laimbeer rookie card for 79 cents. So that's exciting. This week's game is Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball. Released in 1991, this game is a reskin of the European game Combat Basketball for the Amiga and the Atari ST. The American version has the Detroit Pistons Center as a celebrity endorser. The description from Wikipedia: the game takes place in the year 2031. Bill Laimbeer has become commissioner of a basketball league, fired the referees, and created a style of play without rules. There are no fouls, and the use of weapons is perfectly legal. However, the game basically boils down to a butt masher that resembles football more. Dale, what are your thoughts on this one?
Oh, gosh. All right. Now, for like the 10-year span, for like this 16-bit era and, you know, the 32-64-bit eras, I was like primarily a sports video game player, and, you know, a handful of other games here and there, but I played a ton of sports games, and Bill Laimbeer's Basketball is a hoops game like no other, for better or worse.
Yeah.
I remember I didn't play it until now.
You were a real sporto. Real sporto is what you're saying.
Yes. Well, for the NES days, I played a lot of stuff, rented just random games each week, and when I got the Super Nintendo, our first couple of games were Mario All-Stars and Street Fighter II Turbo, and played a lot of those, but...
Both great classic games.
Yeah. Then, I don't know, I just ended up going down the sporting game hole, probably because I had, a neighbor friend. We just played a ton of sports games for years, so that's probably a big reason to do with it, but I always remember seeing Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball, like, on the racks and hearing about it, and at that time in the early to mid-90s, that was kind of like the Dream Team era, and the first marquee basketball players that come to mind, you know, obviously, you know, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Shaq just emerging, and Hakeem and so on and so forth. And so I had no idea who Bill Laimbeer was.
Part of the bad boys of the 80s to 90s Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, later on through like
with Isaiah Thomas.
Through flashbacks, documentaries, interviews, I found out about him later on. I'm like, oh, okay, and he's like a big brawler and all that. And
flashbacks. So,
30 for 30 specials, I think, was how I really got more. I think they did a special on the Pistons wing, the two back-to-back
ones, right?
Yes,
they did. Yeah. They did.
So I think they interviewed him for that, I want to say. But it's been a while, though. But so that's when I say where I really got exposed. I'm like, okay, this Laimbeer is really a badass. Holy shit. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, man.
That's all right. Don't worry about it now.
but yeah, so... And then eventually I remember seeing the occasional like little reference to it in more recent years and how it wasn't that great of a hoops game. But when you mentioned it for March Madness basketball game pick here, I was like, all right, finally get to try this out. And so.
Well, it's definitely a game we've brought up before just because of the absurdity of the title. It's just such a fun title.
That is the only reason I know this game.
Yes.
And is because that Steve has brought it up multiple times on the show. Because
A, who's Bill Laimbeer?
Yeah.
And B, what is combat basketball? So, like, just the combination of the two is delightful.
Well, see, this game was always on my radar at a young age because it was the first basketball game released for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, wow.
And as a result, by default, it would just be in Nintendo Power. Just because...
just constantly...
Yeah, just because the N64 was way worse, but the Super Nintendo, when it first came out, it just did not have a ton of games for it.
Right.
I remember this is one of those mythical games I read a lot about in Nintendo Power, and it was even in the Super Nintendo Player's Guide. It got like a page or two. And I did not play it until emulation existed. So probably like... I don't know. I feel like that was late 1990s, early 2000s. And, you know, obviously the reviews for this were not great at the time even. And I played it, and it still was bad. Like, it's still – I had low expectations, and it was still worse. So –
yeah. Yeah. I mean, the biggest fault in this entire game is the control scheme, which is that you have one button to do everything.
Can I ask you guys a question real quick? Did you guys happen to... for me, this is my first time playing this, and I went a whole game not being able to figure out how to shoot a basket.
Exactly. That is
extremely hard. Yeah.
That is right when I was leading into with the one button control setup. I kept trying to push all the other buttons to shoot.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't shoot. I figured like it has to be this pass button to shoot. And I still, every time I get close to the basket, could not shoot. Just throw it out of bounds.
So
and only until reading afterwards that I figured out.
Like halftime of my first game. Still. Yeah. Halftime of my first game, I think I was down 12-0 because I just couldn't shoot. So I finally looked up, because I don't want to spoil anything, I could not find a manual to this game. So I had to look up like a GameFAQs or something just to get the controls.
Same here.
I'm missing something. Something is impossibly hard here. So as I interrupted Todd, he was alluding to, one button both passes and shoots. And to shoot, you have to be not moving at all.
Yeah.
So it's so unintuitive.
It is an insane decision for a controller that has six buttons. I would say
six buttons. Yeah.
So this was a port from I forget you said it up top, a port from another system. And I think that maybe an Atari or something. Yeah, maybe an Amiga. Maybe Amigas only have one button.
Right, like
and
Atari.
They just did a direct translation.
They must have. Yeah, like they didn't even try to program a second button.
I was thinking, I couldn't help but get the feeling this was like a bunch of like old 2600 programmers who were just super set in their ways. No, you only need one button. It does it all.
Why are there six? Get this controller is trash.
You know what? I'm looking at it right now. The Amiga, it looks like they just ripped off the Super Nintendo controller. So
it's the same one?
Yeah.
It's the same controller.
Yeah,
That's
maybe
even more baffling.
Atari ST is different, but... I actually had to do a Huel thing here. I had to pause the game like a minute in and find like instructions online to play it.
Yeah. So, like, if you don't look up the controls, you'll never figure it out.
I went the whole game without doing it, and I'll give a shout out here too. I wrote down the guy's name, Peter Tiernan, who did the Game Facts guide.
Yeah.
Yes. And I quote, "The controls can be annoying, mainly due to the fact that the game inexplicably uses only the B button and the D-pad during matches."
I read that exact same Game Facts. Yeah, I remember him saying that. I'm like, it all makes sense now.
Same one.
I'm not bad. The game is bad.
He's also sassy because he's like, eventually you will get way too good at this game and you will want to trade for 5 copies of the worst player just to give yourself a challenge.
Yes.
His name is Joel.
Yes.
You're all being a bunch of Joels. That's going to be my new way of throwing shade to everyone at work now.
That's rough.
Right. So going to that cheap style of playing that you can figure out is a few things. One is if the bad guys, the other team
they are a different color.
Are right on top of you, just, you know, instead of letting them tackle you and take the ball, just throw it out of bounds because they'll get the throw in. But you just immediately shove them as soon as they get it.
So, so the gameplay, besides having one button, is you can just tackle anyone at any time. There's no fouls. This is combat basketball. So, like, anytime the other team has the ball, you just slam into them and get it back. And they'll do the same to you. But you can usually avoid a little better than the CPU can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you score a point or get a basket and they're throwing it in from the other side, you just shove them as soon as they throw it in.
Because they take the ball and for some reason, they throw it in immediately under their own basket. So you're just waiting there to tackle them and shoot it again. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, that was basically my method for winning here was whenever I got the ball, if I was on my own half of the court, I would just chuck it up toward the other end, and who cares if it goes out of bounds? You just tackle the guy when that's it, and then you immediately shoot it and score.
Same here. It was like basketball, you know, icing.
We're all geniuses.
I think combat basketball needs a few more rules to be more playable.
No rules is a little too ridiculous. It could be like two more rules maybe. Like if they had like a buffer zone where you couldn't get near them when they threw it in, like it would make things a little better.
Yeah.
There's like a slight buffer zone, but it's like one player length of zone, and then you just die and your dive goes so far that it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
You just dive so far, you slam into them anyway, and then the ball flies out.
Yeah. This game played way more like soccer or a football game to me.
Yes,
you can just kind of zigzag down the whole court, and the CPU. The CPU is kind of too stupid to track you.
This is definitely not a basketball game.
No,
besides having a hoop, like that's it. And I think soccer's a better comparison because the court is huge. Right.
Another thing about it being a basketball game compared to soccer, this is a top-down perspective. There's no verticality in this basketball game.
Yes.
No. Yeah, it reminded me of the overhead view of the Contra 3 levels at a glance, kind of there.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the top-down is, I mean, it's not the worst idea just because of graphic limitations, but it just makes things worse when you're trying to shoot.
Well, confusingly, you can't dunk in this game, which seems bizarre. And like the NES has decent basketball games that are like left to right. Like they could have made this like a left to right game, and I think it would have been better because at least then you get some verticality.
Sure. Like a jam, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a jam of NBA's variety.
Yeah. Such as a jam.
Or in arch rivals.
Yes.
National Basketball Association's The Jam.
Oh, you beat me to it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's worth pointing out, like, the limitation with this overhead view they use, too, is you only can really see, like, 20% of the court. So and there is a little radar in the bottom left corner, which you could kind of use to predict where to pass and hope your player is there, because it doesn't really kind of do, like, the automatic lock-on passing if you just kind of point in the general direction, like a lot of most modern
lock-on passing would have helped a lot, because you can only just throw in whatever direction you're pushing. So either it flies out of bounds, like we said, or it goes directly to the other team is how most of my passes worked. But again, didn't matter because you could just immediately tackle them. So
yeah,
it just made things slower. And speaking of slow, oh my God, these players are
not
athletes. I don't know how they got this job. There must have been someone better and faster that they could have. They could have signed.
This
to
takes
these
place
teams.
Takes place in the future where the gravity is stronger and everybody runs slow.
Where everyone's like addicted to McDonald's, like Wally, and they're just fat and slow. Mm-hmm. So both Wally and I think that's where Wally got the idea for their movie. It's like, oh, everyone's so slow in combat basketball, they must have all just been lazy.
Oh.
Yeah. That's how they designed their future segments. Yeah.
And I think, too, besides players just being slow, did you guys have, like, frame rate slowdown, too, with your games, too, it seemed?
Frame rate? Or,
like, slowdown for gameplay?
Yeah, I had a little bit of slowdown as well. Like, if there were, like, more than four characters on the screen.
Yeah, I was like, man.
Yeah,
I think it was definitely worse.
I think it was just always sluggish, and I didn't really notice.
Yeah.
Eventually, I unlocked some faster players in the season mode, and that helped a little bit, but not too much more.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, once if you save up money and just get a character who's like 5 stars or something, like the game's over. Like you just give it to them, and they can just literally outrun the computer. So that's fun. That is the only thing I will give this game credit for, is that because it's a European game, you actually start in Division 3, and there is promotion and relegation, like in soccer.
That's pretty
cool.
So
yeah, the top two teams in Division 3 move up to Division 2, and then if you finish top two in that, you move up to Division 1. But even then, a season is 14 games, so you have to play... Like to, I guess to beat this, what would that be? 14 times 3, so that's math.
If you're moving up divisions too.
Yeah, 42 games, I think, is what you need to win.
For what it's worth, the games go quick, though. They're only like minute and a half periods. And
they feel so
half.
Much longer just because of how sluggish it is.
That's true, yeah.
Plus, every time the ball goes out of bounds, the clock stops, and that happens about 80 times a game.
Yes, and I did time it. It definitely is slower than, like, it's not a minute and a half in real time.
Oh,
it's,
yeah, yeah.
Even if you don't take into account the stoppages. No.
I want to say I was averaging, like, 10-minute games. I did manage to finish one season. I kind of got into it, like, had some Stockholm Syndrome going on by the end of it, I think. Because by the time I unlocked, I eventually bought... upgraded all my players where they had 3 stars for at least speed and shooting, and so I lost the first two games of the season, but then I started to develop some of our previously discussed strategies here. And by the end, the last game of the season, I shut out the opponent there 51-0. It felt great.
Wow.
Yeah, just I don't just
sad
even exploiting some of these inbounding shoves and shoots strategies, the feeling of just shoving someone is just great in this game.
Yeah, I will say, so this game is not good, but it is like satisfyingly bad. Like,
yeah,
like it's kind of just like easy and stupid to play. Like I would not be pleased if I paid like $50 for this in 1991, but you know, if playing this week, like I must admit, this is, you know, not even close to being in my bottom 20 games that played for this show. Like it's just thoroughly stupid, I guess,
judgment. I had fun with it because I didn't play it that long, but I mean it was fun. Like once I figured it out and I wasn't like mad at the controls,
that was about the same. Yeah,
but then eventually it's like, all right, now it's too easy. Like first it was too hard, and then it just became too easy.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not awful. Like there's some baffling decisions.
Yeah. But, yeah.
So
I mean it's competently
one,
made,
one thing I think
guess.
we all did not try is playing this in a two-player mode.
No.
Which I feel like would be frustrating and weird to play.
That would probably be like a 2-0 game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say that So Damashek is always on the idea of, oh, why does Hollywood remake good movies? They should remake bad movies. A remake of this game could be fun, where, especially if they were able to get like an NBA license and you had licensed players as robots, and you could do like, you know, kind of NBA Jam style, and you could upgrade your team and go up and down divisions. Like, oh yeah, this is kind of a fun idea. But I don't know. Just this game has kind of a lot of flaws, and it's if I'm ranking my robot related sports games, Base Wars is definitely above this one.
Yeah, Base Wars is great.
Yeah, Base Wars for the NES is a fun baseball game with like five or six different kinds of robots versus this one, which, you know, they have different attributes, but it's just one robot. So,
I will say when you move up seasons or divisions in the season or league mode, there you get different background music. I was kind of like, oh, no more catchy jingle anymore. It's an okay jingle they have for the Division II you move up to, but I was just so bummed. It could have grew on me. Only played one game in the second year two or whatever there, and part of me kind of wants to go back. A slight part of me just to see what the rest of the jingles are like. I don't know.
I'm sure you could find them on YouTube somewhere.
Part of me kind of wants to hate play it all the way through almost. I don't know. Just to, like, shut out and push and shove like all these evil futuristic robot Lambeers. And Bill Lambeer cost $2 million to recruit. What the hell?
Well, I mean, it's the name of the game.
I guess.
So I did try to find what is the story behind why Bill Lambeer, and I could not get a good answer. I'm not sure if any of you guys looked it up.
Why he's the face of this game?
Yeah, because it is. Because
he's a notorious fightsman in the NBA.
He is, but it's still like, I feel like
he's not getting his own. He's not getting any other game besides this one.
Well, I mean, I understand why he would endorse it. I just don't understand why they thought slapping his name on this would move any more copies. Because, I don't know, Bill Lambeer is like a four-time All-Star. He's not like one of the NBA's greatest players.
Well, he's also not a nobody, but like, it is combat. Like, I mean, who else? It's probably like a situation where they couldn't get anyone better. And so like 12 people later, they call up Bill Lambeer's agent and he's like, yeah. You know, it's probably not them seeking him out. It's them seeking out over and over again other players and then finally settling on him.
Yeah. I guess that's true. It wouldn't make as much sense if it was, say, Scottie Pippen's combat basketball.
And that's all I was thinking of. It's like, I don't know, is...
We have Slam City with Scottie Pippen instead.
Yeah. Or Michael Jordan's Chaos in the Windy City. You know.
Yeah.
Scottie Pippen's Puzzle Challenge.
Exactly. He had his own series.
Mm-hmm. I did look up earlier
today. Is this too early for Rodman?
I think he was around this era. He was with the Pistons, right?
Yeah, I think the issue is Rodman was a bench player for the Pistons.
Mm. Well, I don't mean Pistons. I mean, he... I don't know, I guess so.
Well, around this time, he was coming off
the
bench.
That's what I mean, around this time, he wasn't quite Rodman yet. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, he was actually...
He was the Rod boy.
Oh, true. That's what they call
it. Oh, jeez. wow. So, yeah, he... Actually, by the time this game came out, he... was a starter for the Pistons. So, but he did not become Rodman until age 30, 1991-1992. So, you know, he would have been a perfect choice. Maybe he played this game, said, well, I'm going to get the sequel. Because that's when he really upped his game. But...
Yeah, I looked up Lambeer's stats earlier today thinking, I'm like, okay, I knew he was on the Pistons for the championship seasons. What, did he just have like a hot 4 or 5 year run? And then I was like, oh wait, no, he was around for like 14, 15 years. Holy. And I felt bad. Now,
I mean, he was just like a big bulky dude. Like you know, he hung around forever. Like Robert Parrish was the same way because he was like, oh, he's 7 feet tall and he doesn't mind punching a guy if things get rough. Let's keep him on the end of the bench, like Charles Oakley and all these other guys. Well, just to touch on where is it now, Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball had the distinction of being the first basketball game on the Super Nintendo, but it was poorly reviewed at the time, and it now sells for about $1 a copy.
Ooh, what a steal.
Yeah. The developer, Houston Consultants, closed in the early 1990s. Its final game was Zarathustra, and programmers went on to form 21st Century Entertainment, which created Pinball Dreams, Pinball Fantasies, and Pinball Illusion.
So, are those pinball games where you make relations with the pinball machine or something? It's based on the name.
They're pretty good. I've played them before.
Zarathustra.
I had no clue how to pronounce that, so I just broke it.
No, I looked it up. I thought maybe it was spelled wrong, but that's definitely what it's called.
Yeah. The Wikipedia page notes that it does not have any relation with, is it like a Hindu god that it shares the same?
Zarathustra was what I thought it was. Mm-hmm. Or Google's telling me, did you mean Zara Thurston? Which is apparently a child actor.
Oh, mine is... Did you mean Zarathustra? Also known as Zarathustra. Jesus Christ. Well, that's kind of what he is. He was an ancient Iranian spiritual leader.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So.
Okay. All right.
This good looking dude. As Nick Weiger would say, this guy's got a hog. So,
what?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. No, he's wearing pants. What are you talking about?
He's wearing a skirt as well.
Oh, you know. Look at what he's got in his hands. Come on.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's... I don't know. I do like that all of these British companies have, like... You know, these very normal names. Oh, yes, it's just Houston Consultants.
Yeah, they're always consultants, or they're not even like technologies. It's just the firm of people.
Yes.
That's back when the programmers had to wear suit and ties.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Required. Oh, yes, we make video games this week. We might do accounting next week.
Right.
same guys.
All business.
Yes. Yes, the Bill Laimbeer project is going quite well. It's smashing.
I guess one last little tidbit I wanted to mention was that I think we kind of brushed on how there was like some power-ups and stuff in the game during
I had no idea what they did.
If it wasn't for that guide, I would have been just as clueless. But there's like the puck-looking one is like bonus money for buying players. And then there's like a shuriken, which will like shoot a shuriken to knock a player out.
Yeah, I saw one that just like bounced all around. I think it was that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it hit me, sometimes it hit the player.
And then one I always get mixed up. I made the same mistake every time. An M. It's like a little dot with an M. It's a mine, so your dude explodes.
But
for some dumb reason, every time I saw it pop up, because it only happened like maybe twice a game, I kept thinking, money! And I ran towards it, and my dude exploded, and I'm like, God, got me again!
M means money.
Yeah, for some reason, that was just, damn, Laimbeer got me again.
I just learned, so I knew that the discs were money. And then I just didn't bother breaking up anything else after, like, I got blown up, like, two or three different times by, like, you would think, if I pick this up, it's not going to hurt me. But it just always seemed to do that.
Why would a power-up be bad?
Yeah.
Because this is there's no rules, Steve. I don't know if you knew that.
No rules.
People just put mines on the court.
Mm. Well, there is backcourt, though. For some I don't know why.
Yeah, that's like the one rule.
There's backcourt of all things.
Yeah, they have legal goaltending. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, why are there even boundaries? Like, this is indoors. There's walls. Like, there's no court side.
Yeah.
It's just, it should be like arena football where it's just, there's just walls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
you can still go out of bounds.
Indoor soccer is the same way. You can just play it. You can play it off the walls. It's actually kind of fun.
That sounds pretty cool for combat strategy. Basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In this game, you could
rebound passes off the wall. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe if you check a robot into the wall enough times that it would explode. See,
like behind the basket's like the only place I could see having a boundary. Mm-hmm. But the sides should just be walls.
Yeah. Man, see, we're improving.
We've made this game make a second button and take out a bounds out, and we've got a great game.
Yes. Add a button to shoot, like most other basketball games.
Like
have.
Any other game that, yeah.
Yeah, any other game you can play, and it'll be a lot better. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Well, we should move along here. Todd, were you able to find any most best for this week?
Sure. I was barely able to find two reasons why this game is the most best game of all time. Yeah.
That is surprising.
And they're very, very short and sweet. I mean, there's not many reviews out there for this one. All right. First one is titled Awesome by GetSome83.
Oh.
Wow. In April of 2016, GetSome83 wrote, "It's cheap to buy and cheap to win. A great buy for cheap thrills." 5 stars.
Yeah, oh. Can't disagree there. It is currently $1, so still applies.
All right, next one is titled Boss Bill Winky Face, and written by Michael and Shell. In August of 2017, Michael and Shell wrote, "'Tis the pinnacle of video gaming. Behold! Tongue sticking out face. 5 stars.
The pinnacle? Did they write for the correct game? The pinnacle of gaming?
Well, the title of the review is Boss Bill, so I'm assuming they did know they were reviewing Bill Laimbeer's...
Boss Bill, yeah, that's a great point.
Combat basketball.
He is the boss of this new league, as the intro told us. Okay. Boss Bill. Fair enough.
I had... This week, it is a 3-star Yelp review, and it is for the Detroit Pistons. Apparently you can review sports teams on Yelp.
Heck yeah.
So hold on, let me paste it in here just so you guys.
Is it like a review of them going to the game?
I cannot even.
Let's find out.
So BBH.
Ooh, so close.
I know. I had to double check. I was like,
BBH.
BBH, as they say in the UK.
It's just a cube.
Nasty Boys era was a blight on the NBA, despite characters like Joe Dumars, Vinny the Microwave, Dennis, pre-tattoos, Rodman, Bill Laimbeer, etc. Pre-tattoos is in quote. Sure, they won, but it wasn't pretty. I much preferred the Dave Bing Bob Lanier era. The Chauncey Billups Rip Hamilton title was fun, and it seemed to come out of the blue. Even so, bad logo, be it the basketball with the words Detroit Pistons through it, or that dumb horsehead. Plus, they don't even play in Detroit. I will say, I think the announcer who screamed, "Detroit basketball," when the Pistons snag a loose ball. 3 stars.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's fair. 3 stars.
That dumb horsehead logo.
Yeah. I like how on Yelp you review like eras of a team.
Yeah.
I did not like them when they were mean.
Yeah.
3 stars on Yelp. What year was this written? I mean, obviously not in the 90s, but
2010. So
still weird.
Mm-hmm. Here I'm sharing with you.
They had to voice their opinions.
Yes, that stupid horse head.
It is dumb. It is pretty dumb.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
I mean, the Mavericks already have a horse, which I guess makes sense, but it doesn't.
Like, is so it's.
But what is a Maverick, right?
I don't know.
Well, a Maverick is a horse, gambler? Isn't it?
Yeah, they should have Mad Max himself on as their logo, right?
They should,
from the movie Maverick.
Shouldn't it
be? I just thought I had no idea about the horse in the logo before. I just always thought it was the Pistons because of the whole Motor City play on that.
Yeah. Wow,
that makes sense.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they should have like an engine block on here with like a fiery engine block.
Well, they have an exhaust thing, but the horse...
That's just the horse's rear.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so here, here's the thinking, guys. Hooper is the mascot of the Pistons. He generally appears as a horse wearing a Pistons jersey. The symbolism is that, like the Pistons they are named after, the team produces horsepower, hence the equine.
Man, that is a loose connection.
Yes. Whereas the Mavericks, there is a horse breed or brand called the Mavericks.
Okay. So I'll give them a pass.
Yes.
That is my official rule.
I now live in Houston, so I know steers. So I can tell you all about them.
Mm-hmm.
And
never mind.
Yes, and they are good horses. They are good horses.
Yes, steers are good horses.
Yes.
That is what you know.
Yes.
You sound like you're a native now.
Hey, sure, listen, you were born there?
Listen, I like to get on top of my steer when I'm walking the dog.
All right.
Just take it around the neighborhood. I steer it around. It's very alliterative. Huel, it sounds like you were not able to get a manual for this one.
Yeah, unfortunately, no. I tried. The only one I could find, I would have to actually purchase and get mailed to me. And that was just a time issue more than anything. I mean, obviously, I would have bought it. But, yeah, I guess I'll give that GameFAQs review 4 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Oh.
Because there was some good sass.
Yeah.
It was helpful. He didn't have to do it. But for some reason, people still make GameFAQs for obscure games, and they're the real heroes.
And for sure, like at least 3 out of 4 of us made use of that.
Yeah,
Steve, did you say you used it too?
Yeah, I used it.
Okay, four out of four of us.
This game, this episode would have been awful if we didn't know how to even play this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, oh, thank you, Dale, for linking. It is by I think we said it, but Ball Nabs. Ball
his
Nabs.
Real name, the guide, Peter Tiernan.
Woo. Ball Nabs is his username with a Z. But yeah, Peter. Thank you, Peter.
Yeah. Oh, geez. You can tell it's an old guy, but it's still 2005. He has a Hotmail account.
Oh. So if anyone out there wants to try it, it is MondoGecko33@hotmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, still easier than the show's email somehow.
GameFAQs guides nowadays, you just click on a couple of random ones here and there. They have so many pictures and multiple pages now. They're almost like real guides now. It just took away all the fun of just a big monster text file with ASCII art.
HTML, yeah. And people do like their own ASCII art with logos and like their own logo and like all sorts of craziness. Yeah, you just click them, kids these days.
It's interesting because this other guide on the site looks to be a beat Final Fantasy III for the Super Nintendo in 6 hours, 30 minutes, which is, that is a pretty insane time.
So,
good for him.
Sorry to report, Ball Nabs is no longer an active member.
Oh. Yeah. Still though, two contributions and both are quality. So good for him. Well,
thanks.
I have a ranking system, and it's called the Herzog Hierarchy Rating System. And this game's coming in at Herzog Veer. Herzog 4.
Mm. Oh, 4? Wow. Okay.
I mean, I did say that this game is, like, kind of stupid and enjoyable, but only for a very short amount of time. So,
yeah,
you know, if you're looking for something that's, you know, kind of in the same vein, I would just recommend, like Mutant League Football or Blood Bowl or something mm-hmm. like that instead.
NBA's The Jam on SNES is my alternative.
Just play The Jam.
Yeah. Yeah, The Jam. If you want something with, like, a season mode, then, you know, NBA Live is a pleasant game.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, Todd, do you have a rating system?
Yeah, I'll give this game a rating on the DuckTale scale. The DuckTale scale has two primary factors. Mm. Primary factor number one is nostalgia. How much nostalgia do I have for this game? Primary factor number two is replayability. Would I replay this game in these troubling times we live in nowadays? Nostalgia. No nostalgia for this game at all. I've heard the title at some point and just brushed it off. Seen a screenshot and had no interest in playing it. Only until Steve brought it up on the show over the years that it's even crossed my mind to try it out. So no nostalgia for this one. Replayability? No. We've mentioned multiple times there are better games, better hoops to put in baskets than this game. So yes. No replayability. That being said, I will give this game a 0.04 DuckTales.
I have an important announcement. So, Huel, you guessed 0.06, which was incorrect.
Thank you.
Dale guessed 0.04.
Woo! Woo! Yeah! Yeah!
And he also wrote Huel difference prediction 0.02.
What? Legit, yo. Legit. What? Double whammy. Wow. Take it home. Ultimate YPB special.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. This, on our second to last episode.
Yeah.
I could not think of a better
Wow. Talk about.
You predicted how off that, I would be?
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
That's insane.
I'm sorry, I'm a little goosebumpy right now.
Dude, trust me. Hey, I've been there. But
talk about
the double guess.
Yeah.
A dramatic last appearance.
Dramatic.
Oh my God.
A dramatic thing to happen in a penultimate episode.
Yeah.
Oof.
You guessed I would be off. That wouldn't even occur to me to go. Oh my God.
Just.
Well, dude, when I'm listening to regular episodes, that's. I always, for like the last several months, it's been kind of like my thing now. I'm listening, I'm like, all right, what? I'm going to guess Todd's score. I'm going to guess how much the difference will be on Huel's prediction. And it's got to be a silly, dumb thing I do. And I'm like, I got to make sure to write this time to Steve.
No, trust me. I appreciate it because it involves me. And
wow, that's magical.
Oh, my God. Fantastic.
Is it all right if I contribute a rating to?
No.
Ah.
not after that.
Womp womp.
You had your moment.
Go ahead. Throw it in there.
All right. One last time, my quirky rating scale. The Iceman Sub-Zero rating. Where?
Oh, yeah.
The whole concept is Iceman likes to be in a nice, chill, cool atmosphere to stay at optimal cold temperature, and unofficial Marvel lore that temperature is -38 is the perfect temperature for Iceman. So the more Sub-Zero, the better, up to -38. The worst score, 33 above zero, which is the melting point.
Right.
So first 10 minutes playing this game, I was kind of hovering around the 25, 27 degrees above zero. This was not good. But like I said, after a couple hours, I was kind of enjoying this game for all the wrong reasons. And I'll give it a final rating of -8.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
So I guess that kind of equals out to like a 6-ish or something.
I think your final rating is fair, yeah.
Okay. I'm surprised it got down into the negatives.
Yeah, below zero. You can have some fun with it. I get it.
due to enjoying the awful exploits and catching background music, I'll attribute it to.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna ask. I don't know if I should mention this or not, but were we gonna give a little quick shout out to a second game we were considering coverage this week?
Sure. If you have info, it was on the agenda originally, but we figured we just couldn't play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we literally could not play it. Right.
Yeah.
I think that was the issue.
I looked up. I was actually considering buying it online, thinking, "Oh, old Jaguar licensed or sports game, maybe $10." Now I was going for like $35-40, but I did look up a few YouTube clips for a certain licensed movie hoops classic,
which was
White Men Can't Jump. Yeah, White Men Can't Jump, the official video game.
The video game.
Yeah. And oh my goodness, that game looked like it made Bill Laimbeer's game look like, NBA Jam.
There you go. Yikes.
It looked really rough. I don't know. Did you guys happen to look at some clips at all or anything there?
No. Only saw some screenshots and yeah. It did not look appealing.
Yeah.
I'm glad we avoided that one, honestly.
Yeah. That was a good call. I'm glad I was close to buying that online too. I was like, yikes. Nope, do not do this.
You made the right call. Okay.
All right. Well, we should move along a little bit here. So, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say?
Not about this game. No.
Done with it. Dead to you. All right, Huel, how about you?
No, I think we fixed it, and if we remade it now, we would have a bestseller.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, people love nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Dale, anything else you wanted to add?
Steve, now that you mentioned for remaking it in the future, this game kind of reminds me of one other kind of futuristic sports game, like the way it plays. It's not a basketball game, but like as far as like the way how you kind of mentioned, it's kind of like a soccer game. I don't know if you guys, this was kind of like a little under the radar, kind of like B or C tier title. Didn't get a lot of promotion for original Xbox. Death Row. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that one.
Not at all.
No. Death Row. No.
Yeah. It was a futuristic sports game where it's pretty much, I think 3-on-3 or 4-on-4, and it's like it's M-rated, so they kind of hype up the combat factor. And you're instead of a basketball, you're tossing a disc around, kind of like a extreme frisbee or something. But you're passing it around, and you can attack other players. And eventually, you can, if you injure them enough time, you eliminate them from the game, and you can win games by forfeit, which is usually what we'd have friends over. After a while, we'd stop making goals and just shoot to eliminate the other team by injury. We had a lot of fun with that game. It was, animation, graphics, gameplay quality wise, it was all right. It got the job done, but it wasn't like lights out amazing or anything. But just like the extreme over the top mature nature of it all just really made it stood out to us. And Rockstar Energy Drink sponsored it. It was the first time I ever heard of Rockstar, the energy drink. So
that's amazing.
I think it was like a 2002 game or something like that. But if anyone's looking for Bill Laimbeer done right, maybe give Death Row on or OG Xbox a whoopsie.
Wow. I only had one more note on Super Nintendo basketball games, which is just that NCAA basketball was the game after this one, which had a weird 3D perspective made by Sculptured Software. In the same year, they did Tecmo NBA Basketball, which is a completely different game with a completely different perspective. It is a 2D left-to-right game. So in the same year, they did two radically different basketball games, which seems weird that they wouldn't just go with one style or the other. But hey, games were weird back then.
I was a big fan of both of those games, actually. I like I said, just a lot of sports games on the Super. And that was like the first I got exposed to college hoops games was NCAA basketball on the Super Nintendo. I was like reading through the manual. I was like, it says that it's like March Madness is a 64 team tournament, but there's only like 47 teams in here. And I ended up picking the Providence Friars a lot for whatever reason. They were my go-to team.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I had to pick them by default because they were the only Rhode Island team in the game. But anyways, we should move along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you get any mails?
Before we do that, in the agenda, we got a voicemail.
Oh, very nice.
So I will play this voicemail for us right now.
Hey, YPP, it's Bob. You know, Robert De Niro. I've been, you know, a big fan of the show. Really like it. Made me sad to hear last week it was going away. Real sad. Almost as sad as losing Best Actor to John Voight. Makes no sense. The world makes no sense anymore. Irishman didn't get nothing either, and now I gotta deal with this news. This news? I don't know what to do. Probably give up acting.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, they give up acting?
Got a exclusive.
I know the
it's devastating.
Marty Scordy's The Irish Man was fully snubbed.
Ireland's fully the man. Snubbed. Yeah, Ireland's the man. Had
Ireland's the man was fully snubbed at
so
the Oscars.
First that happens, and now hearing that the show is ending is devastated.
Wow.
One of our legends, Robert De Niro. Oh, my God.
The Godfather 2 himself. Wow.
He is the Godfather 2.
He is.
He really is.
Wow. Wait. What did he lost an Oscar to John Voight?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame.
Which one?
What did
for Taxi Driver.
Oh, what was John?
Voight got it. I don't know. I'll look this up since I didn't know this was coming.
I mean, it's probably hard to find on his IMDb since he's won so many Oscars.
He's only won two. Oh, you mean John Voight? My bad.
Yes.
I'm actually going the other way around. Man, I should have. Well, how could I have this at the ready? I didn't know this was coming.
Let me see. He was nominated.
No, it wasn't Taxi Driver. That was Finch.
He was nominated for Midnight Cowboy, and he won for
Raging Bull and as the Godfather. Okay, so he lost to John Voight in Coming Home.
Huh.
Hmm.
And that was when he was the Deer Hunter himself. He lost.
Bobby was the Deer Hunter.
Titular Deer Hunter. Oh, God.
A paraplegic Vietnam veteran in Coming Home.
Oh, wow. It's two warring Vietnam movies. Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a hot topic of the time, I guess.
Is that Full Metal Jacket around that era, too, right? Or...
Well, this is 78.
FMJ was in the 80s, a little bit later.
Yep. Oh, shoot.
78, yeah.
87, oh, wow, much later.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I mean, those are like the only Vietnam movies, though, so I get why one of them won an award.
I don't know. This feels like the easiest of the ones to stomach.
What do you mean?
Coming Home versus like The Deer Hunter.
Oh, to actually watch. Okay. I thought you meant his loss. I thought you meant
It's one of those movies that Academy voters can like obviously like since they're like 80-year-old producers, like they'll actually watch it versus you know, it's a real Green Book situation. Yeah. So
a real Green Book. They said that at the time. In 1978, we got a Green Book on
our hands. What was it that Green Book beat? I know that was a weird choice. At the time,
it was only a year ago, and I cannot remember.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
I'm looking it up. I got the links here. It would have been probably... this is a bad field, actually. A Star Is Born, Roma...
Oh, okay.
Like, those are probably the only two that would have won.
Yeah, Roma was one that people were saying.
People thought it was
going to get it. People love that Roma.
I still haven't even watched Green Book.
I still feel like Star Is Born would have been a better pick over Green Book.
I would have been fine with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yes.
So there you go. Thanks for calling, Bob. I'm glad you're a fan. Mm-hmm. You always have the old episodes to listen to.
Yes.
Godspeed, fella.
Please don't quit acting over this. Please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just star in The Irishman 2. More corned beef.
The Scottish man. Or
yeah. Oh,
the
Scottish.
The Welshman. Cover them all.
Yeah. A lot of men out there for you to play.
A lot of men.
Well, Todd, did you get an email this week?
Oh, let's get my email this week. We're going long. Long and deep on this Bill Laimbeer.
All right. Well, you only got one more show to get that email in. Don't worry. Huel, how about you?
No, I didn't receive any, unfortunately.
Oh, all right then. All right. Dale, any mails this week?
No traditional mails, but the fax trolla was buzzing.
Uh-huh. I had a feeling.
Yeah. Sent out the old fax signal there and got a response from my old standby here, our Mr. Bringback Slamball.
Nice.
So he did not disappoint. Here's what he has to say. Hey, YPB. I heard you are doing a basketball-themed episode and wanted to write in about my times from my game designing days before I took up truck driving. Now, I know I already wrote in about how I was responsible for the motion capture in the five-star classic Slam City with Scottie Pippen, and I was about to lay down some knowledge about how I was working on an unreleased Slam Ball game, but that was during the inaugural run of Slam Ball in 2002, and I just remembered you only covered games through 2000, so that story will have to wait for another day. I did work on a third Hoops game, though. And this one is from the 20th century. You may have heard of it being the raddest hip-hop take on NBA Jam on SNES called Rap Jam.
Ooh.
I provided the crowd noise effects. And when the animating people went on smoke breaks, I snuck in and animated the crowd members fist bumping in a lowrider in a court background you can check out at the 1830 mark in the video link I provided. Have you ever played my 16-bit masterpiece? And if not, do you have any other quick props for other 8 and 16-bit Hoops games? Always ballin'. Bring back Slam Ball. P.S.
Oh my god.
Ooh.
It was a sad day for slam ballers worldwide upon hearing of your news to Sunset YPB. Congrats on your 5-year run terrorizing the podcast waves, a run which lasted longer than Slam Ball itself.
Ah.
My fax machine can now rest in peace.
Oh my god.
Thank you, Slammy.
Wow.
Oh, wow. What a
great fax.
What a fax.
You know, Rap Jam was on our list to a game to cover at some point.
Was it?
It's in there. It's on the, I'll censor it for the show. It's on the S list.
Oh, right. The S list.
Painful Memories / Notorious Gems list. Mm. And it is their Rap Jam volume 1, by the way. We talked about this before. Volume 1.
Oh,
there
right.
isn't a volume 2.
Volume 1. I do recall this. Is Queen Latifah in this? Because I saw her on the thumbnail there. I was like, huh?
Yeah, I vaguely recall somebody bringing this up on a show, and I thought you guys were lying. I thought you were, like, doing a bit.
but we don't do those here, Steve.
I see it's now the list of characters. Julio.
I have vague, very vague memories of this, and then... looking up some footage after getting this fact, I was like, oh my goodness, this guy, Mr. Slamball, is not messing around. List good animation works, sir.
List of characters is Coolio, House of Pain, LL Cool J, Naughty by Nature, The Onyx, Public Enemy, Queen Latifah, Warren G, and Yo-Yo.
Ooh, Warren G.
Yeah, yeah, he's got to regulate. So,
on the court.
Mm-hmm.
In the paint, as they say.
Did this come out? Oh, no, Warren G is still alive. I'm thinking of Eazy-E. I was like, oh, man, I hope this game didn't come out after he died.
Wait. Nate Dogg died. Is Warren G dead?
No, Warren G is alive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Still regulating.
Yes. Please.
So,
regulating after all these years.
Yes.
Still regulating. After all these years.
I mean, that he could be singing that song by now. Like, he's an older man. Mm-hmm. So, 49. Sticky
fingers.
Yes.
I guess for favorite 8 and 16-bit games, I just got, for the basketball games, I probably just got the regular standbys. Probably for NES was Double Dribble, and I played Tecmo Basketball on the NES a lot more than the 16-bit ones. And then on Genesis and Super, it was NBA Jam, and then NBA Hang Time I played a ton of, and NBA Live 96 was the live I played the most out of. And, oh, I guess NCAA Basketball, too.
Yeah, I played Tecmo NBA Basketball a lot because it was the first game, basketball game I can remember that had a season mode, and it actually kept stats, so that was kind of fun. Like, I liked looking at the numbers on the screen, which will be shocking to anyone who's listening to the show.
Wow.
But the actual basketball is not that great. NBA Live, God, whatever the last one was for the Super Nintendo, was the one, like, I played a lot of. I feel like basketball, normally the arcade basketball games are more fun. Like, they're jams. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, Todd or Huel, I don't know if you have one that you'd like to plug here.
Not exactly. I'm not a big basketballsman in general. whenever I play a game, I'm usually bad at them. basketball game, I should say. Or any game, really. But, yeah, I'm usually just awful at basketball games. Like, I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have Bill anything.
Lambert's Combat Basketball.
don't have anything to add from the games you guys have mentioned, because you guys seem like you're the experts on Vidya hoops.
Vidya.
Mine are just NBA Jam. I did put a lot of hours into Double Dribble. That was a fun one.
I was gonna say, I know, talking with like a lot of other just friends and colleagues over the years, they mentioned how they, not big sports game players, but like they did get wrapped up in the NBA Jam fervor at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, NBA Jam. I feel like Blades of Steel was always like a big NES hockey game.
Yes.
Like,
There
were just like certain games that seemed like everyone played, even if they weren't super into that sport. True. So, well, I did not receive any mails either. Todd, did you get an ask this week?
We're going long, but I'll be sure to fit in an ask next week.
All right. Well, I just had a small segment this week, and it's, we are ending the show, so I had to take this time to apologize to some of our guests that we have booked up.
Oh, wow.
Later in the year, we will unfortunately not be able to do these shows. April, we were going to do the 25-year anniversary of Gex with Dana Gould. In May, It was the 30-year anniversary of Final Fantasy with Scarlett Johansson.
It's unfortunate.
Scarlett Jo's a huge fantasy nerd. Final Fantasy.
Well, specifically, she loves anything to do with Asian culture. She will just, any role, she will take it.
True.
When she learned we were doing that game, she wanted to come on. May 22nd, we were going to do Perfect Dark with Alicia Vikander. Unfortunately, we will not be doing that show. Also in May, there was Dai Katana with John Romero.
Oh,
But he will not be kicking our ass that week. June 26th, there was Kirby 64 with Friend of the Show Pippins. Also in June, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 with Marvel's Tom the Holland. He was going to hop on for that one.
Yeah, big Marvel head, that guy.
Yes. August 15th was ECW Anarchy Rules with the Sandman.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah.
Oh, Adam Sandler. I don't know who that is.
Sandman. No, he needed the beer money.
Former ECW wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although Sandler would have been welcome as well. So, October 1st, Secret of Evermore with James Lipton. Although.
Yeah. RSVP James Lipton.
Better.
Yeah.
Probably better.
So that one we may have canceled anyway. I'm sorry.
No, Sandler. I thought Sandler was going to come on for Leisure Suit Larry.
Oh, I wasn't able to get
that
one. You
didn't see
that
email? Oh, okay.
Well, this is a family-friendly show, too. So.
Yeah, but it could be YPB After Dark. We could do that.
Yeah.
Our spinoff, YPB Silk Stockings. Just a couple more here. October 14th, it was Dr. Mario with Friend of the Show, DTR. October 18th, Kung Fu with David Carradine.
RSVP.
Why are you saying Wait. RSVP?
Oh, I mean,
how long ago did he email?
I don't know, but he picked that date specifically. So.
Or is David Carradine a different person because it's David Carradine?
No, it's David Carradine.
Oh, okay. Got it. Mm.
I mean, sometimes I have trouble pronouncing some things.
I mean, we do put these shows on the calendar ahead of time because we know when the anniversary is coming up. So
yeah,
he might have
we know when these games
it
came
a few
out.
Years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, yes. October 25th was the 35-year anniversary of Clue Clue Land with Friend of the Show Backsack. Mm. October 30th was SSX for the PS2 with Amanda. Not Lady Hawk with Amanda, friend of the Show.
Friend of the Show, yes.
25-year anniversary of Game Facts with CJC in November 5th.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, man. Holy. Gosh, I haven't heard from that guy. And I remember. Did you listen to that one radio interview he did?
Oh. No.
Oh no, he is the Bill Watterson of online video game guide
repositories.
Yeah, he did one internet radio interview that went all kinds of crazy, and he just kind of just ducked them all ever since. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man. I'm gonna have to listen. And finally. The last show I had booked was November 11th, 2020, for the 25-year anniversary of Warhammer Shadow of the Horned Rat with Christine Dangle. She friggin' loves that. She says she loves Warhammer.
Damn, so, she's a hammerhead, yeah.
Ooh. Didn't think my crush could get bigger.
We could not fit her in, I'm afraid. So, man,
we might have to keep going.
Probably not. well, that's all I had. Dale, was there anything else you want to say before we signed off tonight?
Yeah. Gosh. Well, I'll get to finish one last thing on the basketball games. Just to kind of prepare for it, I kind of looked into my old, I think I referenced on past appearances here, I used to do a video game podcast many years ago, and you know how I alluded to earlier, just being a big sports gamer in my earlier youth days, one of our episodes was a history of basketball games, and I dug it out of my archives on my hard drive, and I re-uploaded it on my YouTube channel. I'll throw you a link here if you wouldn't mind giving it a little plug in the show notes, if that's all right.
Oh, yeah. We can do that.
Yeah. So,
how could one Google this?
If you... It's on... My YouTube channel is just my name, so it's just youtube.com/DaleKulas, DaleKulas. So that should be, like, the latest video posted, so...
Mm-hmm.
That should do it there.
You also could probably search on tap 156 history of basketball video games.
Yeah. It's a bit older, from 2011, so it only goes through that.
Well, Dale, thanks so much for being on the show and for being a friend who's always willing to hop on when we needed it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, thanks guys for having me. Steve, you know, you mentioned, you know, the GameFAQs 25th anniversary here, and just kind of it's all rolling back here. It's like, I think I've known you for just over 20 years now. When I think it was wasn't it the GameFAQs reviewer contest? I think we're both, that's how I started contributing on there.
Yeah.
I think in summer of 99.
Yeah, and as well.
Like, and the message board community started there, like, shortly thereafter, and then, like, everyone kind of did the blog spinoff thing when that happened a few years later, and I bookmarked several of them, and I think me and you were the only ones still updating after a few years after that, and and I was glad to see you bring back Steve Eats recently, by the way, so I will check in on that still, so.
Oh yeah, no, I got a review of Arby's coming up. So,
ooh, heck yeah!
I know. Important information.
Yeah, I'm always interested in the gas station food adventures. I can relate to those, but you never know what you're going to get, as our good pal Forrest would say.
I know. It suffers because I now eat better. So,
but yeah, no, I had no idea this would be the. You know, the penultimate episode of YPB when we put this in the schedule. So just to be able to make it on here one last time. And I think this is my Baker's Dozen appearance on the show. So lucky 13, they would say. Nice. But yeah, so I was glad to do this one last time. And Bill Lambier's basketball, there's something about this game I think that will stick with me. So I am glad it went out on this note, but hey, I appreciate you guys were always receptive to my suggestions for games to play, and you know, it led to me knocking off many games off my backlog I never thought I would get to otherwise, like Shadowrun, Metal Gear Solid, Crystalis, finally beating Earthbound last year. That was I was so glad to finally do that. So, and just being exposed to games I barely touched or never heard of before, like today and Mole Mania last time, and among others. So, and because of you guys, I discovered new ways to enunciate words that will also stick with me. But yeah, hell of a 5-year run, guys. I'll give you major props to sticking with playing a different game each week for 5 years straight. I don't know how you did it. Bravo.
I mean,
a few movies mixed in there, but yeah.
Yeah. It did. It was trouble toward the end when we realized, oh yeah, we played that 2.5 years ago.
A lot of things.
Yeah, we just forgot. Huel, was there anything else you wanted to add before we sign off here?
Well, definitely thank you, Dale. Right back at you. And I also want to say they scored 26 points in 3 quarters. That's solid defense.
It's a Bill Lambier quote.
Yes, right. It certainly is.
Very nice. Todd, anything else you want to say?
Yeah. I will also leave you guys with a Bill Lambier quote. We were able to get after the rebounds. We were able to control the paint. We were able to be physical down there. He might have said it differently, but that's what
that's probably the way he
Yeah, that's good emphasis. All right. Well, on that note, here's a snifferoo from our final episode.